The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along everybody to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You're tuned in to Tuesday's edition of the podcast where we've got racing from Taunton, Wetherby and Wolverhampton. You'll hear it all live on William Hill's Racing Radio with Stephen Powell, Andy Holding and Gary Capewell in the studio. But before all that, we're here to preview some of the action on Tuesday as well as take in the Racing Post Monday jury. My name is Sam Norris and joining me on the podcast today is Sean Quinn. How are you today, Sean?
Yeah, very well, Sam, and yourself?
Good stuff. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Decent weekend of racing, which leads the focus in the Monday jury, Sean. First question up on this week's edition is what chance would you give Champagne Fever in the Champion Chase or the Ryanair? He had a little run around Gowran at the weekend, won nicely enough there. He's a 6-1 shot for the Champion Chase, and I would argue that he's got less to prove than some of the others at the sharp end of the betting.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good, solid, hardy horse, isn't he, Champagne Fever? And it was good to see him get his head in front again after suffering a fall at Thurles back in January, when still in contention in that race won by Don Cossack. He probably didn't beat it a huge deal at the weekend. Texas Jack was back in second, and whilst Texas Jack is a very decent horse, he's not a top notcher, is he? But it was a good performance, and he did it very, very comfortably. He was second in the Arkle last year, wasn't he? And of course, was the winner of the Champion Bumper there. Back in 2012, I think it was. He won the Champion Bumper, won the Supreme Novices, of course, in 2013. So we know that he's very, very effective at Cheltenham. He's very good at that time of year. I think he'd have to have a solid chance, wouldn't he?
Yeah, certainly. And likewise with the Ryanair, 6-1 for that as well at the time of recording.
I think if he were mine, I'd go down the Champion Chase route with him. It looks so open this year, doesn't it?
Of course,
it
does,
with Sire de Grugy, unfortunately having unseated Jamie Moore last time out at Newbury.
Possibly off to Chepstow.
Yeah, I was reading that. That's Sire this weekend, isn't it?
Interesting one, that.
Yeah, I thought they might just prep him and go straight to the festival, but clearly they want to get another run into him, and it'd be interesting if he takes his place this weekend. But if Champagne Fever were mine, given how open the division looks, I'd have a crack at the 2 mile Champion Chase.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. We'll move on then to the next question. Another of the impressive horses winning over the weekend. What did you make of the Ascot Chase won by Bald Success? Now, that was a good win, Sean.
Yeah, I was impressed with him. Of course, Petit Zig fell at an early stage. Which was a bit of a disappointment. Obviously, he was. I think he was sent off favourite, wasn't he, Petit Zig? Baldur's Success was very good because he beat a good filly in Mafia. He jumped very slickly, and he won comfortably. So I think he'll head for the Ryanair Chase now, won't he?
Yes.
Most likely, and he'd have to be a player in the Ryanair. He still looks to be improving.
Yeah, he does. 7-1 for the Ryanair Chase then for Baldur's Success. Next up then, does Top Notch have any chance against stablemates Peace & Co and Hargam? I saw Hargam at trials day at Musselburgh, and he looked mightily impressive.
Yeah, he was good, as is Peace & Co. But Top Notch, he's because his trainer Nicky Henderson has so many good juveniles this year, he's maybe not sticking out like he would do would have done in other years. But he's very, very decent, this horse. You know, he's had, what, 3 runs in England now. He's won all 3 starts very comfortably. At Haydock the other day, he didn't have to beat top-notch opposition. They were handicappers he beat, but he couldn't have done it any more impressively. He jumps very slickly, and he stays well. So I think he's a player in the Triumph Hurdle, definitely top-notch.
OK, fair enough then. Next up, anything else catch your eye over the weekend or recently? There's always a question like this, an open one.
Yeah. I was impressed with the way See You at Midnight ran for a long way in the Rendlesham. He looked like he was going to win that race, but probably lack of a recent run just caught him out, Sam. But it was good to see him back. And I don't know, he'll probably head for the world hurdle now. But he might be more interesting at Aintree and in the 3 mile event. I think it's the Liverpool hurdle at Aintree. He was second. Was he second? He was placed. I think he was third there last year behind Beat That in the novices, the 3 mile novices. And he looked to operate around the track pretty well, so he'd be an interesting horse.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, he's 33 at the time of recording for the World Hurdle, if you wanted a tickle on that. Next up, this week, the national weights are unveiled. What message do you have for handicapper Phil Smith?
I don't know. I think my idea of the likely winner would probably be, at this stage, shut the front door.
Yeah.
So if I were to have a bet, which I haven't done, I'm not going to have an anti-post bet. But I suppose I'd hope that Shut the Front Door gets in off a fair enough mark. Of course, we all want to see AP sign off. We know he's going to sign off with a big winner, and there'd be no more fitting winner and no greater stage to depart from than the Grand National. So that'd be nice if Shut the Front Door got in leniently.
Yeah, and I think that would be everyone's message for the handicapper. Please, please put the horse that I've backed in.
Yeah, exactly.
Is, yeah.
Have you got a fancy?
I backed Balthazar King at 25s a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Put into 16s now, so I backed him last year
as well.
They're
keeping him away from the festival this year, aren't they?
Yeah,
They're running him across country.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's been more campaigned directly for the National this year, I think, which will help. But we'll see. Finally then, give us a winner of either or both of Saturday's big races, the Betfred Ida Chase and the Betbright Chase.
Yeah, I think in the Ida, last year's winner, Wick Hill, has to be of interest. He won it very, very impressively last year, and he looks like he's been campaigned with this in mind. This year, Connection seem to have been keen to prep him for the race this Saturday. So I'd probably put Wick Hill forward as the selection in the Ida Chase again.
Yeah, fair enough. All right then, that's all then for the Monday jury this week. Then we'll move ahead to look at some of the action from Wetherby. The first race that we'll take a look at comes up at 2:50. This one is a novices hurdle, ran over the extended 2.5 mile trip. It's a class 4 event with 9 of them running in this one. Who do you like the look of?
It's likely that One Track Mind will be sent off favourite here, and probably deservedly so. Sam, given what we've seen from this horse, he's got an official rating of 140, which is pretty lofty. He's a dual Wetherby winner. He won his bumper here back in April of last year, and then he won a novice hurdle in November in decent style. He then unseated Gavin Sheehan in a novice's hurdle, but last time out ran a very good race in the Grade 1 Challow hurdle when finishing fourth behind Parlour Games. He was only beaten just over 6 lengths that day. Vita de Rock, second, Black Lion, third. It looks pretty strong form. So back into a normal novice race. He's going to take the world of beating, but he's got some fairly decent opposition here. Hainan definitely improved from his first run to his second in the UK. He just ran a moderate enough race on his British debut here at Wetherby. Back in November, but was a winner at Catterick in January, showing a good attitude to beat Argent Knight. I'm not sure he's good enough to win this contest, but I think there are more races in Hainan. He's only a 4-year-old, but I think he's quite a big scopey horse, and I think he's got a bright future ahead of him. Elsewhere, I thought that Paul Webber's horse, the Corruptor, ran a better race over hurdles last time out than he did first time at Warwick. He looks like he's got a fair share of ability, and he'll be winning before too long. John Joe O'Neill's got a debutant, a winning pointer in Rain Man, who won a Ballindenisk point-to-point back in May of last year. Was subsequently sold for 40,000 and has now joined John Joe's team. It'll be interesting to see which way he goes in the market. I suppose Mazaran ran a good bit better last time out here at Wetherby than he did first time over hurdles at Catterick. Again, I wouldn't be sure he'd be good enough to win this, but he might be more interesting after this third run when he gets given a mark and goes handicapping. But One Track Mind is pretty hard to oppose here. I'll side with him.
Okay, then Sean siding with the course and distance winner One Track Mind in that Weatherby 250. Next race that we'll come to from Weatherby is the 325. This one is a handicap chase over 2 miles, with six of them set to contest this one. Who makes the appeal here?
Iwell has turned out quickly after a recent win at Ayr. He won very well at Ayr 7 days ago, beating Quikuyo by 14 lengths. And I think it's wise that Stuart Coulthard's turning him out under a £7 penalty, as he'll likely go up a good deal more than £7. So he's got to be a player, as does recent Musselburgh winner Blackwater King. He beat Shiner Diamond in decent fashion at the beginning of January. Trust Thomas, he's a very, very consistent horse and has run into some decent rivals in the shape of Ubaltique and Clan William the last twice. He was winner up at Newcastle in November, beating Things Change off a mark of 109. He's now running off 118, but I don't think this mark is insurmountable for him, so I'd throw him into the mix. Ballycool, he was a winner 10 days ago at Utoxeter, beating Crafty Roberto. The handicap has been pretty fair to him, as he's only gone up £6 as a result of that. So I think you could give a good few of them a chance here, but I'll probably side with Iwell to follow up under the £7 penalty, Sam.
Okay, Iwell in that one for Sean in the Weatherby 325. The final race then on our podcast comes up at 355. This one is a handicap hurdle over 2 mile and 6 furlongs. Class 4 contest with 17 of them set to go to post. Who gets the selection here?
Waterclock ran a good race here at Weatherby on handicap debut on Boxing Day. He was a beaten favourite, but he finished second behind Hail the Brave off a mark of 109. The handicap has nudged him up a pound to 110, but I definitely think he's got wins in him off this sort of mark. So I'd throw him into the mix, as I would Jonjo O'Neill's runner here at Reception, who was a good second behind Spooky Dookie at Doncaster last time out. He's been ridden by Maurice Linehan of late. AP McCoy gets the leg up tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see if he can coax a little bit more out of at Reception. Elsewhere, I suppose you'd have to consider the top weight, Always Tipsy, who was a winner at Musselburgh last month, beating Total Acids off a mark of 109. The handicap's been pretty fair with him. He's only gone up £6 as well. Stephen Mulqueen rides that horse once again. And down towards the bottom of the weights, Not a Bother Boy, Sue Smith's horse, ran a lot better last time out at Southall back in December. That was a step back in the right direction for this horse. He's a former winning pointer. He'd been a little bit disappointing in his first few runs, but was a different prospect, different proposition last time out when going handicapping for the first time. The handicap has put him up 3, but I think he's got wins on in him off this mark of 101, so I'd probably side with Not a Bother Boy here, Sam, but I'd definitely rate at Reception and Waterclock big dangers.
Okay, it's Not a Bother Boy then in that one for Sean. In the 3:55 at Weatherby, if you could just remind us, please, then one more time of your three best bets on Weatherby's card on Tuesday, please.
Yep, sure thing. In the 2:50, the Novices Hurdle One Track Mind is very, very hard to oppose following that good run in the Shallow Hurdle last time when he finished 4th. In the 3:25, I'm going to go with recent Ayr winner Iwell to defy a £7 penalty. And then in the 3:55, the handicap hurdle, I'll side with Not a Bother Boy, who was a good second on handicap debut last time out. But as I said, Waterclock and At Reception are worthy rivals.
Okay, there we are then. Excellent stuff. The thoughts of Sean Quinn on Tuesday's Racing Podcast. Join us on Tuesday afternoon on William Hill's Racing Radio with Stephen Powell, Andy Holding and Gary Capewell in the studio. All of that Weatherby card to come, as well as action from Taunton and Wolverhampton. Thank you for joining me on the podcast today, Sean, and good luck with your bets.
Cheers, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.